it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in Rose City to Soccer Made in Portland, a special episode.
Emergency pod.
Woo, woo,
emergency pod.
Got the sound.
Yeah, good job. We don't have the sound effect to add in this morning.
Low budget.
low budget, low time for editing. We appreciate, and Chris will, you know, give him a shout out as well. But we appreciate our pal Sean Megger editing this podcast this morning on short notice, as he's going to head to Eugene today for the Oregon football game. But in the world of football, the Portland Timbers made an announcement, or rather, they
leaked.
Spoke to the media. Somebody spoke to the media.
We'll leave it up to the imagination who that was.
About the hiring of Phil Neville as the next head coach of the Portland Timbers, which if you look at the reaction of fans on the internet, which as we know is not necessarily a reflection of reality, but in the case of the Portland fan base is a pretty clear reflection of what the most passionate fans believe. The reaction has been severely negative, to the point that, you know, not only are fans concerned about the issues of sexism when it comes to Phil Neville and the tweets that he posted several years ago, which he later apologized for, but in addition, his in their view, lack of success on the field, and something that has gained a lot of reaction, not only online, but just in the soccer community in general, to the point where the Timbers Army came out and made a statement asking the Timbers to reconsider the forthcoming decision, which of course is not yet final, but we're of course speaking on it because it looks to be finalized in the coming days. The Timbers Army asked them to reconsider and to essentially look at the other candidates that they had in contention and sort of reevaluate, with the intention, of course, that they don't want Phil Neville to be the head coach. And that is significant for a supporters group and one of the most prominent and outspoken supporters groups in MLS to sort of come out and make a statement like that. But there's a lot of frustration and a lot of anger in the soccer community over this decision. You know, what happens in the future, whether Neville does end up getting the job, which appears likely, and you know, what he does with that job and how he responds to these sort of questions remain to be seen. They're expected to introduce him early next week, so we will keep an eye on that. Chris, just keeping sort of your finger on the pulse of the fan base and, you know, looking at this from an objective viewpoint, what is sort of your impression of this decision? Keeping in mind, of course, that this is a family show.
It is a family show. I also want to start by adding in my thanks to Sean doing double duty, in service of sports journalism today on a Saturday. Happens a lot in this line of work, but huge thanks to Sean for doing this. The reason, by the way, we are recording this emergency pod on a Saturday morning, it is not yet light out, is because we got other stuff that we got to talk about, right? I mean, we've got the Thorns in the semifinal on Sunday. If they advance, we're going to have, I don't know, like a cup final next week, and we just really didn't want to be having to trample all over the Thorns content next week, which will be richly deserved and manifestly important with Phil Neville content. So we're recording an emergency pod on a Saturday morning for your listening pleasure. Sean really made that happen. It wasn't sure that we were going to be able to get somebody to edit, which goodness knows we absolutely need. And so absolutely critical. No raw footage recordings being sent out there. And so huge thanks to Sean for making that happen. As part of that, and out of consideration for Sean, in making his life just a little bit easier here on this Saturday, I have to break my promise. I promised a few weeks ago, back when the idea of Phil Neville being hired by the Timbers was a mere glimmer in our eye, that if the Timbers hired Neville, that there would be a non-family soccer made in Portland. It is with deep regret that, and frankly, I made this promise when I was kind of like, there's no way this is actually going to happen. Like, you know, there, for all the reasons that we will discuss, there's no way this is actually going to happen. The Timbers aren't going to hire Phil Neville. So yeah, like our friend Bill Oram, who said he would eat his shirt if a WNBA team did not come to Portland, I now am in the uncomfortable position of, I mean, I'm assuming Bill's not going to eat a shirt. If Bill eats a shirt, then great. Also, though, I'm kind of concerned for him.
I would hope that for Bill's sake, it's sort of a small square of cloth that maybe he applies some form of sauce to. I don't know what his plans are.
I'm smoking a brisket today. I can help him out. Yeah. Smoke a shirt for him. Try to get some, you know, some flavor in there. But
a little dry rub.
Yeah. But Bill and I find ourselves in similar shoes. So I apologize to everybody who has turned in today for the swears. They will not be directly present. You might have to use your imagination. But if you use your imagination, you might be able to insert a few here and there to spice things up if you so desire. But if you want to keep the family involved, gather around the radio, kiddos.
So thoughts on the hire, Chris?
Oh, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
I've been like vamping. Like, let's talk about anything else. Like, anybody want to talk about smoking a brisket? Nobody? Okay.
What's your spice blend? What are we working
on? I'm a traditionalist. I come from the Aaron Franklin school of barbecue, by which I mean I read his book. The best I've found and the best technique that I like is about 48% salt, about 48% pepper, and then just a little bit of dried garlic granules. Liberally applied. I really want to let the meat and the smoke and the moisture that comes out of the meat do the work in creating the bark. I don't want to add a whole bunch of other stuff. So yeah, I'm a little bit of a traditionalist, and it's served me well. I think I'm hopeful for today.
Anytime you smoke a brisket, you know, the keeping it simple and making sure that the meat itself shines.
That's right.
Is important. Feels like there may be a metaphor in there.
I'm sure there is somewhere. I guess let's rip the bandaid off. The Timbers are set to hire Phil Neville. I'll start with the soccer stuff. His resume, you know, he's managed meaningfully two teams. He managed the English women's national team from, what was it, 2019 to 2021. In that period, probably the high point was they got to the World Cup semifinal in 2019, lost to the United States in the semifinal. Probably the high point of his time at the helm of the Lionesses. That high point receded pretty quickly as we got into, admittedly, a weird pandemic year. But throughout the rest of 2019 into 2020, the Lionesses' form dipped pretty significantly to the point where it was barely just a year after the World Cup, the English FA kind of came out and said, yeah, you know, Neville's contract is up next year and we're not going to bring him back. he vamped for about 6 months before sort of ghosting to go to Inter Miami. It was, frankly, kind of the beginning of a golden generation for England. The England's track record since then has been phenomenal. The next year after he left, they won the Euro. It came home. That is not something that's been done on the men's side in a very long time. And it came home. The women brought it home. And the no longer led by Phil Neville women brought it home. And then, of course, they went to the World Cup final last year, this year, whatever year it is. In 2023, they went to the World Cup final, losing famously and now infamously to Spain. So I think it's fair, you know, I mean, there were some high points in Neville's tenure, but the trajectory was not good. They were worse when he left than they were when he got there and in the early stages. And that's not great. You know, I mean, sometimes that happens, right? You know, you could say that about Gio Savarese too, but there was a much longer arc. There were many more high points in Portland that he had before things kind of petered out. And so I think that's a little bit of a different story. This was a pretty short and I think pretty disappointing arc for the FA. He then goes to Inter Miami. You know, Miami's had some issues. He sort of came in on the heels of the sanctions being imposed from their blatant cheating from bringing in, what was that, the Blaise Matuidi signing? I think there were a couple. They had like five DPs. It was not great.
Yeah, they were fined a total of $2 million by MLS. And for MLS to go out of its way to do any sort of wrist slapping on that front in terms of roster.
Especially wrist slapping in Miami. Like, that's a pretty sexy wrist to slap. They're not the Colorado Rapids. Like, Don Garber would slap Colorado's wrist any day, right?
Yeah, and now, you know, you look at the way that they've built their team in the Messi era. I mean, you know, it's sort of a wink-wink situation in its own right. But I mean, yeah, for them to have taken that step was a significant one. And so then, you know, Neville took over at that point.
Yep. And so he came in on the heels of these sanctions, but it was still a pretty high-priced roster that he took over. I mean, Gonzalo Higuain was there. They've had a number of guys who have sort of been inconsistent in form, but who are really well reputed players. First year, they were poor. They missed the playoffs in Neville's first year. The second year, they did make the playoffs. They finished sixth in the East. Higuain kind of had his a little bit of a renaissance, brief, but you know, it was there. Gregoire was good. They had a number, they had a number of good contributors. And they were solid. They got bounced in the first round. They got absolutely gobsmacked by NYCFC in the first round. And so it was sort of a quick and unmemorable trip to the playoffs. But they nonetheless qualified. And then 2023. when Neville was dismissed at the beginning of June, I think they were like 15 games in, if my memory is right. I could like take notes and write these things down before the podcast, but as longtime listeners will know, that's in my mental notes. Whether the accuracy of those mental notes is in some dispute, but in my mental notes, they were about 15 games in, and they were on about a point per game. They were dead last in the Eastern Conference when he was dismissed, and look, they had some injuries. The roster wasn't in perfect shape, but I think everybody would agree they shouldn't have been dead last. And I think the first people who would agree with that are Inter Miami because they fired him. And of course, you know, I mean, there were lots of things that then happened at Inter Miami. They have been covered quite thoroughly in other places. And so we don't need to recap that all here. It's not entirely fair to look at Inter Miami after he left versus before he left and say, well, they're a lot better now. Yeah, I mean, signing the best player to ever walk this earth is going to help. But they were also in a deep enough hole that signing the best player to ever walk this earth couldn't get them to the playoffs. So, I mean, they were down there. Everybody remember what a dumpster fire Toronto FC was this year, just like absolute craziness, madness going on, really toxic locker room, all like broken roster, all the things. Miami was below them. So not good. I think it's fair to say, I mean, look, folks kind of make their arguments based on coaches' resumes all the time. It's not an impressive one that Phil Neville's got. It's, I think charitably, and I might lean into charitably, I think you would say the results have been mediocre. If you wanted to characterize it as poor, I wouldn't fight you. I think that's reasonable. And so I again feel like I'm vamping, right? Because there's other stuff to talk about. But so, I mean, that's kind of the baseline that you come in at. That this isn't like, this isn't a guy who, when he shows up, when his resume lands on your desk, you're like, oh, gotta hire him. No doubt. He doesn't have that kind of resume.
Right. And that's sort of where he's at in terms of past performance. And it's pretty clear. I mean, and pretty, you know, obvious to folks that look at it from an objective standpoint that, you know, he hasn't quite had that success maybe that you, you know, would want to tout if you're making this hire, and that other coaches who are in contention have had, particularly at the MLS level. There is also the factor of him being someone that is very clearly a well-connected individual in MLS that, you know, is a big name, undoubtedly, probably the biggest name period of the people that were the candidates, and sort of through that has this strong support among talking heads and people who are in the MLS sphere that sort of look at it, you know, from a potential perspective, and they say, look, like, in the right situation with the right staff with the right roster, Neville is someone who could have a lot of success on the field as a coach. And I think that that's, you know, I think that's possible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
In MLS.
That's right.
But, you know, somebody like Neville, whose name carries that weight and sort of has those connections and has the experience he has as a player. I mean, it's not impossible, but what we have seen so far at the MLS level, and then to some degree at the international level, with the sort of improvement that the England women's team made after his departure,
which is a better apples to apples comparison than right, Miami, because that was largely the same team, and they got a lot better after he left.
Yeah, it begs the question: like, is he going to be able to find the success that he has yet to sort of find as a coach? You know, every coach's career is sort of you coach somewhere until you get fired or you step down, quote unquote. That's the nature of the business. But it's sort of a matter of what you do in that period that means a great deal more. And there are other considerations here, as
there
you said.
There are other considerations here.
There are other things that are frankly more front of mind for people in the city of Portland right now, particularly given everything that has gone on with this organization in the last couple of years. And I'm going to let you take it from there.
So, you know, in many ways, what we've talked about to date though, is kind of the baseline, right? You know, I agree with you. There have been a lot of folks who have said, I think, you know, Phil Neville in the right situation can really be a successful manager. That's an exercise in faith over experience. Maybe those folks are right. Maybe there is something there that hasn't come out yet, but we haven't seen it yet. And we have, I mean, you know, a not insignificant track record of the four or five names that we've seen the Timbers connected to. Frankly, I would put Neville's just resume, objective resume, fourth or fifth. It's not great. He just doesn't have a track record of success. And so that's sort of the baseline that I come into the other considerations point with, which is, you know, this isn't a must hire. And the other considerations are very significant. You know, I think you laid sort of the just the facts out well in your story on OregonLive.com. But, you know, the primary source of concern comes from a sort of series of tweets that Neville made largely in the 2011-2012 period. So 11, 12 years ago, right? That's only fair to point out and to consider. That are deeply, like ridiculously misogynistic. They're very bad tweets. Like, even if you like the hiring of Phil Neville, don't defend the tweets. Yes, they're jokes. Extremely, extremely poor taste and poor judgment jokes. Like, and that's just it. Like, there's no defending them. A couple of them, frankly, crossed the line where I didn't even want to retweet them because I didn't want to put that kind of material into the universe. Like, to perpetuate that kind of garbage. And that's what they are. They're garbage. And so I think there are a couple questions here. And there are a couple points of view on them, both of which, frankly, I find reasonable. One point of view is that these are very, very bad things to say. That he said, look, in his mid-30s, this isn't a situation where it was a matter of youthful indiscretion with a not fully formed frontal lobe, you know, tweets at the age of 17 kind of thing. He was like in his mid-30s. He had been a public figure at the time that he made these tweets for a decade and a half. If he didn't understand the weight that his public comments could carry, I don't know what to tell you. And if he didn't understand that there could be consequences for public comments at that point, I don't know what to tell you. On one hand, I think some folks would say, look, what somebody says at the age of 34, 35 in this kind of forum is much more reflective of their character and judgment even later in life, even 11 or 12 years later, than what somebody might say at 16 or 17 or 18. And I look at those comments, albeit decade-old comments, at the age of 34 or 35, after a decade and a half of public life, and I say, boy, I don't think that guy has the character or the judgment to be the coach of the club that I support and love. And frankly, I don't think that perspective is unreasonable. I think people of good faith can say that, even notwithstanding Neville's subsequent apologies, and he has apologized for them. He has said, I think the quote was, they were wrong at the time, they're wrong now. I agree. And even notwithstanding those apologies, I think a person of good faith and good reason and good sense could look at those and say, that's not the kind of person whom I want to entrust important decisions in the club that I love with. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I think somebody of good faith and good character and good sense could also say, look, people make mistakes. People have stunted perspectives, even sometimes later in life than they should. And they still have the ability to grow and to learn and they should have the ability to move on from those things. And these are old tweets. He has subsequently apologized. It's not like there has been a string of revelations from the last decade that reinforce that this is reflective of his current character. And I think people of good reason could say, look, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to, you know, sort of give him the second chance. And I don't think those things are disqualifying in terms of how I assess his character and judgment today to be entrusted to be a leader of the Timbers. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable perspective too. Frankly, if you were to ask me which side of that debate I would come down on, I kind of feel like at hem and haw. Like I'm not going to go stand on a mountaintop here today and say Phil Neville should never ever coach any soccer team ever again. I don't feel that strongly about that. I'm kind of ambivalent in the true sense of the word between those two perspectives. And so, I don't know. I genuinely don't know how I feel about the question of whether Phil Neville should be entrusted to coach a soccer team. But he's not stepping into a club that doesn't have context. And so to a significant extent in figuring out how I feel about the hiring of the Timbers hiring of Phil Neville, I don't even get to that question. Because there is context here. There is baggage here in Portland that frankly rhymes pretty closely with the baggage that Neville carries into the club. And look, I mean, I think back to not even a year ago when we had Heather Davis on the show. One of the questions that we asked, I can't remember who asked it, but it was probably you because you asked most of the good questions, was how do you regain fans' trust after all of the things that have happened over the course of the last few years? The revelations about the handling of the Paul Riley situation, the abuse of Mona Shem and Sinead Fairley, the mishandling, and the misjudgments with the Andy Polo situation, and the heartbreaking consequences that you know, the heartbreaking things that happened after that. In light of all that, how do you regain the fans' trust? Because the club has done things wrong in important moments with respect to domestic violence and protecting and respecting women. It hasn't gotten some things right. And it hasn't gotten some important things right. And how do we trust that that's going to change? Basically, the question, sort of loaded in with all the context, that we put to her. And I thought her answer was very sensible. It was watch what we do. And the point was that the club will earn back that trust by demonstrating that it's on a better course now. Well, I'm watching, and frankly, a hiring like this wasn't what I was envisioning when she said, watch what we do. It's just the kind of thing, frankly, that if the club took seriously its obligation and its task of demonstrating that they have moved on and that they have learned from and grown from these earlier errors that the club made, these significant earlier errors that the club made, that they wouldn't seriously consider a hire like this. And they wouldn't seriously consider reopening the wounds from the club's prior errors. And I think there is some dismissiveness of the way people feel about the club's errors that I think is unwarranted. People's relationship with their soccer club is not a transactional one. Especially passionate fans, they're emotionally connected. And frankly, when fans learn about those prior things, you know what they feel? They feel shame. Because the club that they love and that they invest emotionally in, let alone financially, but they invest emotionally in, really mishandled important things.
And speaking to that specific topic, sort of the fans' response to how things have played out here, it hasn't just been a few loud voices on Twitter or, you know, just a handful of, you know, people griping on social media because they hate Merritt Paulson or they, you know, don't like the current leadership of the club or whatever. The Timbers Army, one of the most famous supporters groups in MLS and you could argue in soccer globally at this point, given the reputation that that the Timbers Army has had with respect to sort of the tradition that they built. The TA came out and said that they want the team to reconsider this forthcoming decision, that they don't think Phil Neville should be the hire. And that's a significant step, and I don't think one that should be discounted by anyone in this situation, that the supporters group that has essentially built this culture around this team over the last decade and a half is coming out and making this type of statement. Now, whether that statement sort of leads into potential action if Neville is hired, you know, if there is some form of protest or if there is a bridge to be mended with Neville if he ends up being the hire, that remains to be seen. But the statement is unequivocal. It says that the Portland Timbers are currently rebuilding a team on the pitch in addition to their ongoing efforts to rebuild trust with their fans and the community. And the Timbers Army expressed disappointment. They are concerned about the sexist public statements that they believe run counter to the ethos as a club, city, and supporters group. And I think this is a moment where the club has an opportunity to bridge that gap. And frankly, it's more likely than not that they remain at odds in this issue, and that, you know, Neville does end up being the hire, which is every sign is pointing to that being the case, unless, you know, he makes the decision that he doesn't want to, which I have heard nothing specific on that front to lead me to believe that'll be the case. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, Phil is going to be the next coach. And so how does the club square that with the supporters group's response? Does it listen to that and address concerns? Does it care what they have to say or what they think at this point? We
don't
know.
Supporters care what the club has to say at this point? I mean, that's kind of it. Like, if your answer to how are you going to rebuild that trust is watch what we do, then you've got to do it. And what just kills me, frankly, as a fan about this whole thing is that it's just so unnecessary. And I mean, you didn't have to hire Phil Neville. Like, there were other coaches who, frankly, just purely on the soccer merits of the fact, would have been easier to justify than Phil Neville, who we know are available, who we've heard are connected to the Timbers. Frankly, there's one in-house. I think you could justify Miles Joseph just on the merits easier than you could justify Phil Neville. And I say that still believing very much my belief that the Timbers need new leadership and fresh ideas and a new course. And one of the great frustrations that I've had over the course of the last 4 or 5 years is that it feels like we are just in a perpetual spin cycle of conflict between the fans and the club. And even sort of stepping back from my own perspective about where I think that conflict comes from and that kind of stuff, this frankly feels like the club almost going out of its way to perpetuate that cycle of conflict. Because you don't need to hire Phil Neville. And it is obvious, and I underscore obvious, that if you hire Phil Neville, people are going to react this way. And to be clear, they're reacting this way in good faith. They're reacting this way in sound reason. Because there are reasons, real reasons, to be concerned and to say that is not the kind of person who I think should lead, in particular, this club at this particular time. And it's not hard to imagine why, right? I mean, imagine a situation like the Andy Polo situation comes back and happens again. It's not out of the question. These things happen to clubs from time to time. Does adding Phil Neville give you more confidence that the club will handle that right? Doesn't give me more confidence, even acknowledging the fact that his statements and his Twitter posts are old, even acknowledging that he has apologized for them, even giving him some credit for having grown since that time. It doesn't give me more confidence, and I'm not sure that the club has earned the benefit of the doubt of that lack of additional confidence. In fact, I don't think they have. And so the needlessness of this hire is in many ways just the most baffling thing about this. There were multiple candidates who were at least as qualified out there, whom the Timbers could have hired, who would not have created this discomfort and this controversy and this conflict. And yet they seem to have steered into this tree. And I don't get it. I'm baffled by that. And it makes me feel like maybe this is true, maybe it's not, subjectively in their own heads, but it makes me feel like they just don't care about perpetuating that conflict, that either they like it or they're indifferent to it. And they're just going to do what they're going to do regardless, which frankly is a lot of the attitude that got us here. And so it, like I said, I don't know where I come down on whether I think it's appropriate that Phil Neville coach anywhere ever. I guess I don't have that. I'm torn on that question. And I guess to some extent, I feel like it's beside the point, because I think he is an inappropriate hire for this club at this time. And it's a needless hire. It's not something the club had to do. And the consequences are obvious. If the Timbers didn't know what the reaction was going to be, my goodness. Like, it was obvious. And frankly, when we were sort of half joking about it a couple weeks ago, don't hire Phil Neville, I didn't think it was possible. Like I said, I'm Bill Orr. I'm having to eat my shirt. But when we were sort of half joking, that was a lot of why, frankly. Because it was obvious what the reaction would be. And yet here we are. I'm at a loss. It's beyond tone deaf. Like, it's beyond a failure to read the room. And here we are.
That'll wrap it up for us this week on Soccer Made in Portland. Tomorrow, obviously, a shift in, you know, the sort of discussion point here. The Portland Thorns are playing a major soccer game tomorrow. We're recording this podcast on Saturday morning. The Thorns play tomorrow. That's Sunday the 5th at 4 p.m. Against Gotham. NWSL semifinal. Thorns win. They're on to San Diego to play for another championship. The introduction of Phil Neville as the head coach of the Portland Timbers is expected to happen early next week, barring any sort of roadblocks to that hire coming across the finish line. We, of course, will keep our eye on everything related to that situation and everything else PTFC over the next couple of weeks and into the off season. So, you know, thanks for joining us this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with the G-rated analysis from Chris Reifer, even if the people out there craved the swearing. They wanted to hear all of the words.
I'll leave those to your imagination. You could probably fill in one or two more.
Yes. So if you were seeking the swears, you didn't find them today, but that's okay. Follow us on Twitter at SoccerMaidenPDX, at Chris Reifer, at Ryan T. Clark.
And thanks again, Sean.
And thanks again, Sean, for editing this podcast this morning before he heads off to Eugene. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for joining us.